Well, this morning I will be speaking directly and talking about the key of the kingdom, which is the Holy Ghost. Now, this is a Sunday morning, so usually I like to end a series of teaching I do anywhere with the emphasis on responsibility. Because if you go for a meeting and all that happened to you was a nice time, you wasted it. God doesn't just give you a nice treat. He gives you responsibilities. And, you know, last night I said I was going to talk about getting people filled with the Holy Ghost. You see what I mean in a moment. So there is always a responsibility. So for as many years as I've been on the field to preach and teach anywhere, I usually end every series with that responsibility. You notice that the end point of Jesus' series of teaching when he rose from the dead was going to all the world. Mark 16:15-20. Luke 24:47-49. And Matthew 28:18-20. John 20:22-23. So, responsibility comes with information. Responsibility comes with information. Responsibility always comes with the information that you have. And there was a young brother who was a brother to one of our leaders in church, cell group leaders in church in Yaba, and Yaba Lagos now. And I just noticed, I didn't know he wasn't a member of the church. I now got to know he had left the church. So I asked to see him, just to see him. And I said, I wasn't trying to make you come back. This is not the only church in the world, so I won't say come back here, you know. But I told him something. I said, why did you leave? He said, well, he found out that there were just too many things to do, too many meetings. He just expressed the usual culture shock when people attend Saints Community Church, some people. Amen. So I said, I know what you're saying. I said, what exactly is the stress? He said, well, they said I have to have disciples. They said, did they say it or the Bible says? He said, really, it's the Bible, but then, sir, I felt they should give me time. So I said, what time? What time did the Bible ask you to be given? He said, not exactly. I mean, we're having question and answer session. So I said, okay, what else? He said, the prayers. That he felt that most every believer in the church pray. And he was very honest. I said, but the Bible says you should pray. He said, yes, sir. Everything he knew was in the Bible, but he just found out that maybe he shouldn't be acting on the word of God. So I said, okay. I took him through everything. I said, now, you attend with church, you mentioned. I said, that's a good church by all ramifications. I've never fellowshiped there before, but from their name, they should be a good church, Christian Center. The Lord believed the best. So I said, in that church, if they are not asking you to do the same things you ran away from this church, go and meet the pastor. I tell him he's not doing a good job over your life. So don't come back home. But anywhere you get to, and you want the Lord Jesus Christ to reward you, right? Because Paul says he will reward those who love his appearing. There's a crown of righteousness for those who love his appearing. I said, now you must go to your pastor and say, if as a member of this church, what will Jesus reward me for? Is it for coming every Sunday? So he was stunned. And I said, so go. I said, but don't forget, don't come back here. Anywhere you go to, ask them, what are you doing so that I will not be ashamed at the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ? So he walked away. And I left his conscience to brood over it in the word of God. Are you here? So every time Jesus gives such information, there's always a responsibility that will come with it. Everyone who had an encounter with God in Scripture was given an assignment. Everyone. So there's always an assignment. So now, we just look at something simple. And, you know, we talk about a member of a church. And you know that that phrase, member of a church, is not consistent with Bible words. When we say a member of a church, it's usually somebody who attends and shows up on Sundays, maybe the midweek, you know. But there's no such thing in Scripture of being a member of the church, even though we use it, and that nomenclature is fine as long as we understand what we're saying. But in Matthew 28, what Jesus said was, go and make disciples, verse 19, of every nation. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them, look at the 20, to observe what things soever that I commanded you. Now, which means that anything Jesus told the 12 to do, their disciples will do. What things soever I commanded you to do. That is, so anything he said to Peter, he said to you. Anything he said to John, he said to you. Teaching them, verse 20 again, to observe what things soever that I commanded you to do, which means that they are supposed to replicate themselves. So, the term member of a church, and we have to be very careful of how, you know, as time goes on, things usually get amended to suit the times. And you have, I used to say this, that we now have what you call first and second service. For some people have added something called business service. I said this a couple of years back, and good enough, some of, even my senior minister friends in Nigeria, I started amending. I said, it is obviously out of place to call something a youth church. What does it mean? Youth church. It's strange. Youth church is meant to be for people who are given to excitement and they're given to entertainment. They talk about relationships, like what to do with your girlfriend and boyfriend, how to make your career and all that. And I said, no. The truth is that Jesus' ministry was filled with youth. All the guys there were young people. Their mommy wasn't coming to church to talk, to beg for them. Mommy is around to see. Those were his disciples. Those were the ones that were apostles. Paul was equally a young man. Timothy was a young man. David was a young man. I said, the core aspect of discipleship is actually for young people. So it's an incongruous word. It's inconsistent with Scripture. But you know, sometimes when you say, people think you're just being unnecessarily critical. After a while, everyone seems to be coming to that realization. There's nothing called the youth church. And I told the pastor, I said, when you receive the call to ministry, I know your generation, you were a teenager. When you organize your first crusade, when I organized my first crusade as a teenager, I went for missions as a teenager. So I said, who would have, what does it mean? And thank God people are adjusting to it. So sometimes they are just modern terms, online church. What does that mean? Church is a physical assembly. You can have online transmission of a service. But if you are not physically present, you did not attend the church. Grammatically, historically, theologically, biblically, contextually, church is a physical assembly. And it's part of your worship and devotion to the Lord. Anyone tell you to sit at home and sit in a lockdown position? Because that's what it is. You sit at home with your phone and say you are in church, has deceived you. You are locked down spiritually. They quarantined you from spiritual growth. You have to get up from your bed, get up from your house, and go to church. That is your devotion to the Lord. Even those who are in persecuted regions, right? They suffer to attend services. Who are in regions where Christianity is practically banned. They do all they can to gather. We are not looking for spiritual persecution from the church to the church. Does it make sense? So, membership of a church must be understood, first of all, biblically. It is making disciples. And remember what making disciples is. It means to replicate yourself. The pastor's duty is not to replicate doctors, replicate lawyers, IT experts, caregivers, nurses, businessmen. His job, or our job, is to replicate himself as a ministry gift. Matthew 28 and 20. To observe all things forever I have commanded you. And let me say something and critical. When it comes to being a member of the church, it simply means you are a disciple of the pastor. You are a trainee. And there are two ways to be trained. By precept and by example. What did I say? Let's take it again. That means I will listen and I will watch. That's why the conduct of the pastor is very important. 1 Timothy 4:12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. 1 Corinthians 11 and 1. Follow me even as I follow Christ. So, his teaching is critical. His example or example is also critical. So, discipleship is not just what you learn by listening to the teaching. It's also what you watch so that you can reproduce it. Are you here? So, we're going to see the example. I'm just going to give you the example of discipleship in Scripture. At the background, Jesus met Peter and James and John. Peter and John, pardon me. And he met them, and James and John. He met them as fishermen. Matthew 4, Luke 5. And what does he say? He said, follow me, I will make you fishers of men. Matthew 4, 19. In Luke 5, he said to Peter, you will no longer catch fish, but you will catch men. In Mark 3, 14, he called them to be with him and to preach the gospel. Don't forget that. In Luke 9 again, from arguably about verse 56, 58 actually, when he called the man, he said, oh, I want to follow. He said, the birds of the air, they have necks, foxes have holes, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. The second person came and said, I want to follow you, but my father just died. Can I go and bury him? And, you know, Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. You go and preach the gospel. People usually don't finish that statement. Go. It wasn't that you should not bury the dead. Was saying when it comes to priority for a disciple, preaching the gospel is number one. Let the dead bury the dead. You go and preach the gospel. The last guy came and said, I want to follow you, but I want to go tell them at home. He said, if you dare leave this place, he that puts his hand on the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom. That's not salvation. Is not fit for God's plan. And what God is doing in the earth. And what does he do next? Luke 10 and 1. He now calls 70. Which means that all he had been doing was pre-qualifying everyone. Wasn't looking at their perfection or imperfection. Was looking at their availability. Availability is 70% of becoming a disciple. What did I say, please? You have to be available. You have to be available. As a member of a local assembly, your availability is so important. Imagine if one day your heart is not available in your body. Your stomach says, I won't be around today. How does it sound? Availability is 70%. So, if you are not available, you are not a disciple, and you are not a member. You know, there are some things we can say. In our own dictionary, that's our definition, but that's not how God sees it. If you are not available, you are not a disciple, then you are not a member. Or maybe you are not a true member. So availability. So what does he do? He sends them out to preach the gospel. He sends them out to preach the gospel. Which means, listen, they have seen him preach. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 34 and 35, Jesus goes from village to village, city to city, from the synagogues and preaching the gospel. Matthew 9 repeats the same thing in verse 35. Then Matthew observes in verse 36 that Jesus had compassion on the multitude because they were scattered abroad and fainted and were like sheep that had no shepherd. Then Jesus said, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." In verse 37, "Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his own harvest." Then the next thing he does, he calls the 12 and sends them out. So why did he send them out? Because they had been observing him. They had been listening to him. So he now sends them out. It's by precept and by what? Example. So the membership of a local church is discipleship, and it's practical. It's practical. How to see a true member of the local church, you begin to see the pastor in the member. Not by hairstyle. Pastor is doing Jericho, you are doing Jericho. That's not what we're talking about. Pastor follows Asna. That one is different. Pastor likes this one. That's not discipleship. That one is something else. Do you understand? That one is something else. So that's not discipleship. That's not discipleship. Pastor started wearing short sleeve. You started wearing short sleeve. Now, we are all impressionable. And that can happen. Okay? But that is not what it is. The replication is in the character and the ministry. The character and the ministry. The character and the ministry. And it has to be the character and the ministry of Christ Jesus. The character and the ministry. So I usually say that the leader of the church is like a mold. I used to run a plastic factory. So I know a mold is where you take everything from. So the pastor is the mold. And we're just reproducing. The raw materials are the new converts. The new members. Push them into the mold. They reproduce. So, you know, so to a large extent, we all will look alike. Not in how we dress. Of course, we dress at God, in a godly way. Not in the colors that we, you know, we choose and all of that. You know, but we look alike in our attitude towards the things of God. It's not therefore strange to see that a church service, all the members run to the service. That's discipleship. It's their sense of urgency. It's not out of place to see that all the members of the church, when they are talking to you, they refer to God's word. It's not out of place to discover that all the members of the church, when you go to their place and then you stay overnight, they wake you up to pray because they are also praying. That's discipleship. It's not out of place to discover that all the members of the church, that they have a respectful conduct. They live in honor. They respect people, even people of other religions, other faiths. They respect them. That is discipleship. Is that very clear? So, in our conduct and character, you respect elderly people. Because that's just scriptural. To respect elderly people. It's not out of place because those are scriptural facts. Are you here? It's not out of place to find out that, you know, all the members of the church, they minister to the sick. That they pray for the sick. It's not out of place. That is discipleship. Are you here? It's not out of place to see that, you know, all the members of the church, they're able to, you know, their character, they reflect the character of Jesus together. It's not out of place to see that they are just conservative people because they walk in temperance. It's not out of place to discover that, you know, you can count on them to pray for you. It's not out of place to discover that they do evangelism. Anywhere they are, they do evangelism. It's not out of place. That is the local assembly for you. A production center of the ministry and character of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we are going to look at two examples very quickly this morning. The first one is in Acts 9. I'll appoint you to Acts 6, but I'll give you a background. In Acts 6, up till Acts 6, only the 12, including Matthias, were preaching, were obviously preaching, though I think I would disagree a bit with that, and say Acts 5:42, when it says that they did not cease to preach the Lord Jesus from house to house and also in the temple, that showed an expanded ministry. But the clearest one is chapter 6, when there was not an issue in church about distribution of food. Usually the things that cause problems in church are carnal things. It's never evangelism or prayer or the move of the Spirit. It's always, somebody did something. Very carnal things. Very carnal stuff. And so they came to the apostles. They were not burdened about the souls. They were not thinking about Samaria. It was about food for the widows. The apostles said, there's no reason that we should leave the word of God, verse 2, and serve tables. Look ye among yourselves, Acts 6:3, seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Unfortunately, we have come up with a concept in the body of Christ called deacons. And we call a deacon somebody who is maybe a rich businessman in church. Even the concept of elder is meant to be just one rich businessman in church or elder in age. So he comes in and oversees other things. And sometimes they even decide for the pastor. Very unbiblical. But the deacon in scripture is actually the associate of the pastor. A deacon in scripture is a pastor in training. That's why in 1 Timothy 3, Paul says that deacon, look at the concept of the deacon and the bishop. Everything is the same except to rule and teach. Then Paul says that deacon will now prove himself and purchase a greater degree, which means that it is a place to train and watch. And we see the process in Acts 6. Stephen was taken and Philip, and hands were laid on them. Now, what was it about them? They were full of the Holy Ghost, full of wisdom, of honesty. But let me ask you, is that not supposed to be how every believer should be? So they were simply examples of the believer. They were the examples of disciples, examples of established and exemplary church members. Now, what did we see? As soon as that happened, Acts 6:7 now says the number of the disciples multiplied, such that even the priests became obedient to the faith. So when disciples increase in church, I'm saying genuine disciples, naturally the church will grow organically. Because ministry will increase. Acts 6:7. So, I usually tell pastors that, look, rather than be particular about, why do we get people to church? But by then, you start saying that you are going to use an ungodly method. That is a strange question. How do we grow the church? You are looking for something else outside God's word. How do we grow? What do we mean, how? What did Jesus ask you to do? It's like a doctor in the consulting room saying, so how do we treat patients? Eh? That is your job. Making disciples. Training people with the gospel. Because by the time they ask those kind of questions, you now begin to go for ministers' conferences, schools of ministry, where they'll be teaching you all sorts of methods. Find out what people want in that area, give it to them. Ask them, send out, questionnaires, and do this one, and do this one, and I went for one minister's conference out of respect for someone. So I got there and they started saying, send out questionnaires. So interestingly, I now told someone beside me, unconsciously, I said, I just had a webinar the day before on my PhD program, so I'm running a PhD. And I said, this is exactly what he taught also. Is it deja vu? So you are actually saying that you are teaching me what the world really tells me. I said, this doesn't make sense. So what do you guys want? Some people say, we don't even want church service. What about that for what they want? We don't want prayer. That doesn't make sense. Paul says, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. If Jesus was going to request from the audience, what did you preach? So when you start asking questions, how do I grow myself? You are going to fall into the wrong hands. Is what does the word say? Is that clear? What did Jesus do? What did Paul do? What did Peter do? So the number of disciples multiplied. And by verse 8, you now find that Stephen was a man full of miracles and faith, and did much signs and wonders amongst the people. And Stephen preached the gospel. And that was the gospel Paul heard. It was Stephen who preached and Paul heard. Of course, Stephen was killed in the process, but Paul was saved in the process. The seed was planted in the heart of Paul. That's why Luke recorded there was a young man who was present. His name was Paul. Don't forget that when Stephen preached, their heart was caught, which means that the thing got inside them. So Stephen, disciple, right? Disciple, example of a believer, good church member, preaching the gospel. In fact, he dared them. He took the gospel to the synagogue, just like who? Jesus. They looked at him. And look at how a disciple was. Do you know, he took the Bible from Genesis to Malachi. Disciple. He understood the word. That was why his response, when they were stoning him, was Christ's response. Ministry, character. He didn't say, "You are stoning me. The God of my fathers. He will punish you and your generation." That was not a disciple of Jesus. So he responded just like Jesus. So in Stephen, did we find the ministry of Jesus and the character of Jesus? And add one more, the sufferings of Jesus. Some of us don't like to be abused for Christ's sake. Say, "I don't like it. Those guys were mean. They're very mean. Why are they mean? They seem to be smiling at you. You're preaching those who be smiling at you. They're mean at me. But can't you just be nice?" It's a spiritual warfare now. Wake up. So, that's Stephen. The next chapter, in chapter 8, we found another one. Now, what happened? There was now crisis in the church. No, there was now persecution. And they were now going from house to house, taking the disciples, arresting them, and the apostles stayed behind. And the people fled. They scattered abroad, verse 4, Acts 8. But notice, these kind of apostles say, "Oh, thank God, we escaped. Ah, brethren, let's be careful. This ministry thing we are doing can get us into trouble." He said they were preaching the word. Hallelujah. So which means they understood that the suffering had to be for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus. And there was now Philip, who went down to Samaria to preach Christ. Just like Stephen, the Bible says, there were signs and wonders, right? And the sick were healed. Just follow what I'm saying here. That's a church member, a disciple. Know something is consistent now. Disciples preach the gospel. Huh? Church members preach the gospel. Is that consistent? So a church creating an evangelism department is not helping you. Or prayer department. What does it even mean? What does it mean? Is it a skill? No, it's an instruction. And your response is obedience. So, Philip goes down to Samaria to preach. But something interesting now happens. He now sent down to... There's a little bit of debate on that. Why did he now send to Jerusalem? In Acts 8:14, the apostles of Jerusalem heard that Samaria received the word of God. And then they sent down, verse 15... Peter and John, so that they might come down and pray for them, so that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For he was falling on none of them. They were only baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's a question, why did that happen? Well, I think it's because he's Samaritans. And there's a bit of a controversy around them. So it was more of, come and see what is going on and all of that. But let's leave that. So it appears like Philip didn't exactly minister the baptism of the Holy Ghost there. So as that was going on, we now saw a man. Now the apostles were laying hands on people and people were receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Then there was a man called Simon the sorcerer who had actually received the gospel. He had been following Philip. Then he saw that through the laying of hands, Acts 8, 18 and 19, that the whole of the apostles, the Holy Ghost was given. So he offered them money and said, give me this power. Whomever I lay my hands upon will receive the Holy Ghost. Then Simon Peter answered him and said, your money perishes. Two things are going to perish. You and your money. For thou art taught the gift of God can be purchased with money. Your heart is not right, he says, and you have no part nor lot in this matter. Of course, that was a sharp rebuke. And that is what a true pastor should do. Rebuke the person sharply. Some say, but it's a new convert. Let him be a newer convert. Rebuke sharply. Don't bring that one here. You want to offer money. If I sow a seed into your life, I'll settle for your ministry. You rebuked him sharply. Now, by Acts 9, the same Saul of Tarsus, to see something, he sat down when Philip Stephen was preaching, he heard those things, and it was, I believe it's that conviction that got him more incensed. You know, sometimes when people are, when there's a conviction, they'll not be acting otherwise. They're uncomfortable. You know, because if you look at Stephen's sermon, now there are two that are like that in the Bible. There's Acts 13 by Paul. There's also the one by Stephen. The Stephen one was more detailed. I mean, a disciple, he's not apostle, Luke. He didn't have any position like that in church. But see how we handle scripture. Till today, that sermon is part of our teaching today. That's a disciple. Now, you can't do that if you are not paying attention in church. If you came with your phone, no notes. Or, you don't take notes at all. Or you come late. Amen? Or you stroll into the service and leave before the teaching has ended. You can't preach like that. You just be saying, I think Abraham gave birth to Moses, something like that. When Abraham was born in Red Sea, he said, Joshua. He said, oh boy. NFA Christian, no future ambitions. You know, but he obviously, you know when they were going to replace Judas, look at the characteristic of the replacement. That one who was with us all the time. Which means punctuality is spirituality. All of the time. Some people there, their name in the book of life is Excuse. Excuse John. Excuser James. Because they're always taking excuses. There was one sister like that back then in church. She'll say, sorry sir, can I take permission? I'm sorry sir. So I said, come, let me show you something. So I typed sorry in our conversation. And she saw the number. I said, if this was money, I should have been a billionaire. Sorry, sir. I won't be around. Sorry, sir. Is your name sorry? Every week, sorry, sir. I'll be late today. Sorry, I won't be around today. Sorry, sir. What kind of a, if anybody were to be like you, I mean, there will be no church service at all. That was with us all of the time. All of the time. And you know that when they chose Matthias never knew he was going to be an apostle. So he was not doing it. They said, you know, guys, Judas is going to die. Oh, we're going to replace him. So the replacement will be somebody who doesn't miss church. Some brethren will come before the service. They'll stay after the service. But there was no one who gave an inkling that was going to happen. So he just shows it was in his character to serve God wholeheartedly. So a man like Stephen was around. He heard the word. He's the kind of person who would leave church and go and study it again. You know, he was, and it showed him his lifestyle. The whole church knew them. Not the kind of brother that would say, my relationship with God is personal. It's personal. No, they knew Stephen. Look among you. They knew Stephen. They knew he was full of wisdom. They knew he was full of the Holy Ghost. They knew he had good report. So anyone who tells you relationship with God is personal is a backsliding Christian. Vaccinating Christians have good relationship with believers. They serve in the, vaccinating Christians don't serve in the local church. A vibrant believer, the way to know is his service. How did Jesus become our Lord? As a servant. He didn't become our Lord because he healed the sick. He became Lord because he suffered for us as a servant. Philippians 2 says that from verse 5 to 8. And he was raised and he gave him a name above all names. Paul says, let all of us be that humble. So that's discipleship. Stephen was definitely around. That sermon was too complete for an absentee member. That sermon was too, it was too tight. It got to the point, he now pointed to them. And you can see, the Bible says, their heart was by the Holy Ghost. In fact, by the time they approached him, Acts 7, 55 and 56 says, he was full of the Holy Ghost and he looked up into the heavens. The thing too complete. That's a solid church member. That's the kind of guy you say, well, you know, the people don't say, does he attend your church? You say, yeah, by the grace of God, thank God. But say, church member. That's a church member. That's how it's supposed to be, right? Good. So we find it Stephen. We see Philip. You know. Now by the next chapter, Acts 9, Jesus now wants, of course, he appears to Saul of Tarsus. Saul, why do you persecute me? Fell to the hand. Said, why do you kick against the priest? Who are you, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus whom you persecute. Then he said, what do you have me do, Lord? He said, go to the house and he told you what you will do. Immediately Paul went and he was praying. Jesus now appeared to him, a disciple. Now, Philip, the writer Luke was very deliberate. A certain disciple called Ananias. When they call you disciple, that means you are learning. It shows in your conduct. A certain disciple called Ananias. Now look at, when he appeared to him in that vision, Acts 9:11, you could see that Ananias was used to visions. He said, Ananias, say, Lord, I'm here. He didn't say, oh, is that God? Is that the devil? You know? Ananias said, who is calling me? And he goes, Pastor Ola, please, I'm hearing something. I'm seeing something. Is it the devil? Is it God? That one's not been coming to church. Is it God? Is it the devil? Pray for me. I don't know. I just saw something. Like a bright light. Then darkness also came. Pastor, please help me. Carla Christian. He knew this was Jesus. He said, Jesus? Imagine if Paul had said, who are thou, Lord? And I said the same thing. Who are thou, Lord? Wala, wala, wala. That's trouble. Unbeliever said, who are thou, Lord? Third member said, who are thou, Lord? He said, Lord, speak on. That's disciple. But the non-committed member will respond like an unbeliever. He said, yeah. So, here's Ananias. He responded. He even had the temerity to argue. That means he had been taught the things of the Spirit. That's how he said, Lord, said, Lord, who did you say now? Saul of Tarsus. Lord, I think you've been away for a while. You've not seen CNN recently. This is all you're talking about. You know, just give me, shut up. Go away. He's a chosen disciple, a chosen vessel unto me. Well, why did he send him to go there? He said, he's seen you in a vision. A new convert, brethren, had a vision. A new convert to Saul of Tarsus. And you come and lay hands on him. Then he says, it goes there. No, I responded. He said, Lord, okay, I need to talk to, how do I lay hands, sir? Lay hands? Lord Jesus, don't go. Can you do a series on laying on of hands? What do you say is happening to him? A vision? He saw a vision. I mean, I don't even know vision. How can I lay hands? So be filled with the Holy Ghost. Filled with the Holy Ghost. We knew what to do. Why? Because disciples observe. They observe. He went there and laid hands on Saul. And the scales fell off his eyes. And it was full of the Holy Ghost. Did you notice one other thing? It was now the one that stole the brethren. That means he also had an honest report. A good member of the local church, who is a disciple, will also be accustomed in the things and demonstrations of the Holy Ghost. Are you following this? That's a disciple. That's a good member of a local assembly. That's a good member of a local assembly. And all the pastors here should know, that is what is called church member. That is what is called church member. It's not the people that respect you or that give money to your ministry. Thank God, you should do that too. That's part of it. But a core part of it is what I just said. Ananias knew that. Now, in Acts 19, the last example I'm going to give, Paul passing through the coast of Ephesus, met some certain disciples, and then he said to them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And he said, we have not heard, Acts 19:2, where there be any Holy Ghost. Say, unto what then were you baptized? Say, unto John's baptism. He said, John verily baptized by the Spirit and said to the people, believe on whom you come after him, on Jesus Christ. When he heard those things, Acts 19:5, said they were baptized in the name of the Lord. Now, verse 6 now says, that Paul now laid his hands on them, Acts 19, and the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. So now imagine, now obviously, Stephen, Ananias got Paul filled with the Holy Ghost. So it was a norm for members of the local church to be full of the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues. It wasn't like a special deal. Are you here? So in Acts 19, the number of them were 12. Paul now began to teach, verse 7 and 8 actually, began to teach in the synagogues. And many really, they began to dispute and argue with him and dissented with the way. Then he now separated in verse 9. In the school of the time, the disciples, he separated them and taught them by the space of 2 years and a half, eventually 3. He taught them daily. Look at that though. Daily. How did they choose Matthias? He was there all the time. Daily. Now, they also saw him preach the gospel. They saw him, how he preached the gospel, how he ministered. Discipleship. Actually, let me say something. I thought I was going to tell you how to minister to people to the Holy Ghost yesterday. You thought I was going to give you a series. No. A series of that on Living Word Media. Let me tell you, he's like a lawyer. No matter what you learn in school, they teach you everything about, I'm talking about because our own law school in Nigeria. No matter what, you scored a first class. You do this one tutorial. You did everything. You got best commercial law. You got company law and practice and all that. You see, when you enter the courtroom, it's a different ballgame. To really practice, you need a chambers, you will need a principal, you will need to watch that principal. How he moves emotions, how he takes them. I'm talking about Nigerian practice. You'll have to watch it. There will be that internship stage where what you now learned in school, you will now see. It's like my page supervisor one day we were talking. So he was now telling me something. I said, sir, I respect you. See, but in this business, you only know it in the classroom. Me. I buy and sell everything. So I understand it. I may not have the right grammar to write it that you know it, but soon I will have it. So don't do shakara for me. I didn't say it in that way. I said, don't intimidate me. I said, this one I understand it. Buying and selling. I said, I can sell you. I understand it. Open letter of credit. I know it. I've been doing it for how many years? Approach a bank, collect. You're not telling me the dynamics of the business. This is because I just want to teach this. That's why I'm looking for this qualification. I understand it. Whether it's international, whether it's local, whether it's forget it. So there is a practice of it. So if you don't go with people that get before you the Holy Ghost, you can't do it. That's what I wanted to teach you. They will take you like this. Say, come and see. They will take you like this. Come and see. He knows what I'm saying. IT. He knows that when we were in school, we both grew up in good foundation. It's practical. There was no series. They just go, come on, let's go on the evangelism. You go and watch the person. Say, hey, did you see what I just did? Oh, you're going to do your own. There is no better way to learn the work of the ministry. You see it done. You just go on social media, they'll be explaining pastoring, and they don't have any member. There's very pastoring with no member. The local church is an effulgence of the glory of God to the sheep of Christ, who are then taught, established within the fragrance of the glory of His praise, and who emit the effulgence and the indwelling demonstration. Come and let's pastor to the group. When you see real church members with their contradictions, you will learn the love work. Your prayer life will deepen. Ah, some members can cause you to fast. You say, oh God, after this series, see how this one turned out. Ah! Say, Lord, this call can pass over me. You are still writing on Twitter. The fact that you are writing on Twitter means you are not pastoring. This matter past Twitter. It's beyond this matter. This issue is more than Twitter and social media. It's people. You see, someone told me, sir, see what I'm passing through. I said, we're all passing through it. Say, but you know, calm. I'm just experienced. You know, there's an experience when you handle calm, those kind of crises that I've just experienced. Say it multiplies. You have 30 people and you're sweating. Multiply your own by what I see every day. Why do you think we pray like this? 3 hours every week. VG, prayer group. Because the intense issues. Amen. Help of Jesus. Thank you. It's not story. So you have to watch it. You have to see it done. The disciples saw it. That's why they said they took note of the fact they had been with Jesus. Acts 4:13. What I'm saying is don't miss church activities. I'm not saying Women's Day, Mother's Day. I'm saying evangelism. Are you here? Prayer, Holy Ghost meetings, workers' meetings. You will see it. If I wasn't paying attention years ago, I won't be your pastor today. I paid attention. I took notes. I asked questions. So those guys, Paul separated and taught them every day. And then the Bible now says in verse 10 and 11 that through the hands of Paul, there were mighty miracles done. Well, Acts 19:20 now says, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Why? Because people had been taught. The word grew because more people were involved in the ministry. The next chapter, Paul he had to leave Ephesus. Then he came back. Then he called the elders, 17, who are now the elders in Ephesus. The same guys that he met, the same 12 folks, after some years, maybe about 6-7 years, they are now elders, mature believers, and they are also overseers of other believers. And he said to them, from the first day I met you, you know how I taught you. I didn't hold back anything in Acts 20:20 that was profitable unto you, but taught you from house to house and publicly. So you know I'm not everything you need to know I taught you. I mean, that's something a pastor should be bold to say. I have taught you. I have taught you well. In Acts 20:28, he said, take heed to yourselves and to the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. He said, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with the blood of his own. So he had taught them. He had taught them. They understood his ministry. The only thing left for them was now ambition. Because he told them, after my departure, some of you, there were some wolves coming among the flock, not sparing them, seeking to draw away the serpents. He said, but from among you will also be people, you know, saying perverse things. Those are wrong examples. We are all saying something. Someone just decides to be unique in the assembly. That's a divisive character. We are all talking about prayer. You are not talking about speaking in tongues. You are a divisive character. Trying to draw disciples after yourself. So look at those examples of disciples. They listen and they watch. What kind of church member are you? What kind of church member are you? Are you a disciple? I close here. Or are you a formal church member. What kind of disciple are you? What kind of member are you? What kind of member are you? Are you the Stephen kind? The Ananias kind? The Philip kind? Or are you the grumbling ones? Acts 6:1. Are you the Matthias kind? Are you the Judas kind? You have to find out which one are you. So I said, anyone has given to you the Holy Ghost? I said, come. Now follow people who do it. Many of your pastors, I bet them in the university. I'm talking about here, I'm talking about Saints Convention generally. When they say, well, we want to join the East Coast Christian Anointing Campus, the Saints Convention have not been born then. And now have this element called Ladies and Men in Ministry. You were in the university some 21 years ago. Yeah. So I said, well, the first thing is, if you're going to join this ministry, two things will make us stand out. Two things are non-negotiables. Prayer and evangelism. So I said, take them, and many of them was Pastor Lola who taught them how to do evangelism. I can name their names. And then Pastor Funke. Take them out. They will go and come back tired, worn out. How many souls? 1.5. They saw it. How can people fill with the Holy Ghost? That's how it starts. Today, they planted churches, woman abroad. Discipleship. Amen. Church member. Church member. You go and check them out. Remember, one day, when Pastor Fuke also saw us join, she know her. She was 24 years ago. Then she went for it, but he came back and said, I didn't see anybody. It was around past 9. At night. So don't come back until you've gotten 3 people born again. She came back past 11. All 3 born again, filled with the Holy Ghost. In 1998, the pastor here, she got someone born again. She told me, the guy is a Muslim, right? Muslim. I'm sorry. Was a Muslim. I apologize. The disciple didn't lose his salvation. That's what I'm trying to say. So he said, the guy is not filled with the Holy Ghost. I said, no. It was a school break. I said, you can't go home until he's full of the Holy Ghost. You can't. Amen. Discipleship. Praise God. That's where she's your pastor too. You can't. Now look for him. He must be filled with the Holy Ghost. Are you here? That's the sign. That's a church member. Trained in the word, in conduct and ministry. Not warming the seats in church. No. Some of us even replace commitment to the ministry with giving. Giving is part and parcel of it. Oh, it has to be. But here, you can't replace one with the other. They go together. Are you following what I'm saying? The apostles were givers. Paul was a daring giver. Paul said, these hands. Paul said, I'm working to give. Acts 20, 34-35. These hands are ministered to my needs and those are with me. But was that what he called his ministry? No. So give and preach the gospel. And live right. Right? Did you hear what I'm saying? One of the greatest reasons why we live right is for the sake of others. May you not mislead people. May you not be the cause where some will fall. That's the heart cry of a true disciple. I won't cause others to fall. I won't cause others to miss it. I will live a life of example. I leave you with these words. By the grace of God, till next year. By the grace of God. Because this is definitely going to be annual. You know. To reproduce yourself. To first of all, allow your pastor to reproduce herself in you. Then you reproduce. Because if that is happening, you'll be reproducing yourself. Don't come for this conference next year
alone.
Don't come to church next Sunday alone. That's a proof that you're learning. Do you hear what I'm saying? Don't. I'm not asking you to just invite. It's good to invite. I'm saying,
go and reproduce yourself.
That's your prayer life. There's somebody who prays like you. That's your lifestyle that is godly and holy. Let someone live like that.
Then you have just fulfilled God's plan for your life. Stand to your feet. Pray for yourself.